I think it's been a couple of years ago or so that I got a phone call, I believe, from a guy named Stephen Phillips, and we've been in contact ever since, and I appreciate you, Stephen. You came, and Stephen is actually the man that arranged this opportunity for us to hear about what the Lord is doing in Lebanon, as he's been spending time with both Joseph and with Danny, who are from Lebanon. Stephen is part of a ministry called Partnership International. Partners International, that's right. And I appreciate Stephen because he's been in touch with me and he prays for us as a church. He's helped me think through how we can be more effective in our missions endeavor as a church. And I appreciate you, brother. It's good to finally meet you and have you here with us. Why don't you come and introduce our guest speaker, Joseph, to us this morning?
Thank you. And you even got my name right, which is rarer than you would imagine. Normally it's Phillips, but you got it right. So thank you for that. My name is Stephen Phillips, and I work with Partners International. I've been with Partners for just about 2 years here now, and it's been a journey. Before that, I was a pastor in Abbotsford for about 5 years, and I was one of those guys who said I would never work with a missions agency. I was a pastor. And as I'm sure you've probably experienced in your own life, never tell God never. Because I keep telling him, like, God, I will never work on a beach. I'm not interested in that ministry. I will never, you know, and he doesn't listen to that one. But I'm here, and it's been a wild ride in the best possible way, because I've learned so much about what God's doing around the world in his church. And let's just jump to the next slide here. Partners International, I hadn't heard of 2 years ago. I was just learning about it. And we do missions a little bit differently, in that we're not a sending agency at all. What we do is we come alongside the local indigenous church all around the world. So we work with the people where the missionaries have been successful. They've planted the church. They've done their job. And now the church is picking up that mantle and saying, this is our country. This is our home. We need to be at work here, and we need to be growing our church. And so we come alongside them and we say, what's your vision? What's your mission? How do we come alongside and help you accomplish that? How do we further God's kingdom in the midst of that? And believe it or not, Partners International is 53 years old this year. So there's a long history there. And at the bottom, you can see a little bit of our philosophy, and that is holistic. The gospel is the piece of every partner that we work with. Everything that we do is about furthering the kingdom of God. But how can I be preaching the word of God when people are hungry? When people are displaced from their homes, when there are injustices happening in the world. And so our partners, we work together with them on all of that. Let's preach the gospel. Let's take care of the spiritual brokenness. But what about the societal brokenness? What about the economical brokenness? How do we bring holistic ministry to all of those things? Let me show you a little bit about where we work here. Partners International works in 56 countries with over 110 partners. There's 5 alliance offices around the world, Canada being one of them. And on the right there, you can see a little bit of just Canada's numbers. We work specifically with about 30 partners. But 250 churches were planted, 2,400 leaders were trained, 26,000 people came to know Christ in 1 year. All because of the conviction and passion of the local church all around the world. And I talked to Andy a few weeks back, and I said, hey, we've got these two guys coming from Lebanon, and I would love to bring them to Kelowna to share a little bit about what God is doing there. Joseph has been partnered with us for 20 years, and he's been at work in the Middle East for about 25 years. So this is a man with a lot of experience, a lot of passion, and a lot of wisdom just to bring. I picked them up from the airport yesterday, and I just had an opportunity, even last night as we were having dinner, to just learn so much. And so it's my privilege and joy to be able to bring them here this morning, and again tonight, if you want to have a little bit more of an in-depth look about what God's doing in the Middle East. And Joseph, would you come and share with us what God has laid on your heart? And I'm just going to pray quickly for you as you come. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for Grace Baptist and for hosting us here this morning. Lord, for Joseph, God, I just pray that you would help him to step aside, Father, as you speak. Would you open our hearts to the things that you have to say? And Lord, would your spirit rest in this place? In your name, amen.
Well, good morning. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. It's a great privilege to be here this morning to worship the Lord with you. We come from long away, 10,000 miles maybe, from Lebanon. And me and Danny, my colleague, we are here since 9 days. We came to touch base with Partners International and our partners, partnering churches here in Canada, and mainly for exposing the Syrian refugees and touch base, you know, with what's going on in Syria. And as we are involved in missions, we have deployed church planters in 6 Arab countries, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Jordan, in northern Iraq, in Egypt and Sudan. And because we are in that part of the world and because of all the turmoil that's going on, we can a bit communicate better and highlight what's going on and really share with you what God is doing. This is a great time, although there is a lot of pain, although there is a lot of hurting in the life of nations and families, especially that in Syria, millions have left the country. They come to the neighboring country. It's a real tragedy. And we came to highlight a little bit more what's going on and seek more partnership as the work is a big load for all of us. This morning, I would like to share with you the word, but this evening, we will talk more about how we are serving the Syrian families, how this war has started, how what's going on, how we can improve our ministry with the Syrian relief work. All of these questions, we will raise them this evening and share with you more about what's happening there. This morning, I would like to share with you a little bit the Word of God, what God has put on my heart, and to be able to communicate to you through God's Spirit what God has really put on my heart. I would like you to open the Bible with me to Colossians chapter 4. And I'm going to read just one verse at the end of this epistle. Paul is addressing himself to a young man called Archippus. And Archippus and others were young men who were helping Paul in his ministry. Paul was not alone. He had teams coming and going. That is at the time when the church was really being planted in the Middle East, just where we live, you know, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Turkey, all this part of the world where Paul was going into mission work and developing God's church and planting this church wherever God has led him. But with this team, he sent a message to one of these young men. Some of them were, he had great report for them. If you open with me Colossians chapter 4, he talks in verse 7 about Tychicus, and in verse 10 about Aristarchus, all these young men who were with him. And John Mark in verse 10, and others. And these men were really laboring with this apostle to bring the gospel to the whole world. But at the end, he talks to someone, and he asks the church, and this is amazing, this is very interesting, that inside of this epistle, there is a letter, a small message, before Paul closes this letter to the Colossians in verse 17, 4:17, he asks the church, and say to Archippus. So he is addressing himself in this letter to the church of Colossians, to the church of Colossae, and he tells them to say to Archippus, is it like a message, a special message to this young man, and he tells the church to tell him, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Just a small message. And this led me to ask a question about how healthy can my ministry be? And I presume that every one of us know that every one of us has a ministry. Not single one in God's church is here without a ministry. We are called, brothers and sisters, to have our own ministry. And our ministry is called and is sensed to be a healthy one. And I would like to share with you that two things in our personal ministry is that we are all priests for God. It says in Revelation 1:6 that to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us kingdom of priests to his God and Father. I think the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation has really raised this important notion that we are a priesthood of believers. Every one of us is a priest in front of God. That's true. There are pastors who are called full-time, and God continues to do a special calling for some people. But in a way or another, every one of us is a priest for God. And what is the role of a priest? A priest is the person who brings the people in front of God. He brings the people and pleads for the people, for his people, in front of his God. That's the role of a priest. That's the role of every one of us. This is our ministry, to plead and to present the people. And we wrestle with God for our people. Whoever our people group are, we are all called to be priests, not only to bring the people to God, but bring God to our people. Bring the message of God to our people and be his voice wherever God calls us to be, as our personal ministry to bring God's message to our people. And that's a great task, brothers and sisters, a great thing that God has given us the privilege to be his priests. And as I look at the scripture, I see another type of ministry that each one holds personally. And that is to become and to be ambassadors for Jesus. We are all ambassadors for Jesus. In other words, our ministry here on earth as persons who were saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, who were called a special calling on us, God is bringing this people, his people, to become ambassadors for Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore on behalf of Christ people to be reconciled with God. What a glorious privilege, brothers and sisters, to be in a way in each of our lives, priests and ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who represents his king, his country, his kingdom. They present the kingdom that he belongs to. And we belong to the kingdom of God. We have a kingdom. This kingdom is coming and ushered by Jesus when he came. And this kingdom that God is building up around himself from all tongues and people and nations. And we happen to be his ambassadors. So you and me are ambassadors for Jesus. We proclaim, we talk about our kingdom. We talk about our King. We represent him in every way of our lives. And in order to do that, in our personal ministry, God has equipped us for that. He has equipped us. He has fearfully and wonderfully made us. He has wired us just to be those kind of people. He has gifted us by his Holy Spirit. He has shared these gifts to every one of us to really be representing him well. And God has, in this verse that we have just read, somehow is reminding the church to tell this young man about this personal ministry. And on the way, in the same way, God's word is reminding us this morning about our personal ministry, about this important position, identity that God has made us of. All of us, not anyone is left outside this, but everyone. And that's why here comes the prophetic voice of the church, when we meet together, when we share God's word together, this prophetic voice of the church resonates in our hearts to be constantly reminded about our ministry, to be priests and to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I don't know what happened to this young man, but what happened to this young man happens sometimes for every one of us. And we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded, brothers and sisters, about the role, because there are so many things that can happen in our lives that can shutter somehow or block away this ministry and make it unhealthy. This is why we need to be vigilant, we need to be reminded and listening to this message that was sent to Archippus. What was happening in his life that made Paul so anxious to send him this special message, this special email, if I can say so, at the end? Just one sentence. Say, he asking the church of Colossae, say to Archippus, remind this young man, what is his ministry? To take heed to this ministry that he got from the Lord, that he has received in the Lord, that he may fulfill it. And brothers and sisters, I think we all need to be reminded as well, because so many things can happen. What could be the symptoms that kept Archippus from from somehow being distracted. And I can say in my own life, what things can distract me from my personal ministry? I would say, first of all, probably busyness. Being busy, sometimes even busy in God's work. That we are so busy in God's work, so busy in ourselves, so busy in our business, that can keep us from being in a healthy situation. I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 13 when Jesus talks about the sower and the seed and the types of soils that there are. And it says that sometimes the word is planted in a place where the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and makes it unfruitful. And that's what can happen in our lives. Even if we are in the ministry, we can be unfruitful because we are so busy in things and forget about our personal ministry, about our personal identity being priests and ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I would say even there is another unhealthy symptom that could be the neglect. We neglect sometimes what God has made us for, has called us for. We neglect. We put things in different priorities. We mix our priorities and our ministry becomes like number 10, number 15, I don't know what number. We put things in first priorities and we don't seem to be concerned about what God has called us for. Not neglecting, brothers and sisters, what God has assigned us to be and not to let the habits of life steal from us this special calling that is on your life and on my life to be representing and presenting to the world who is our Lord and Savior. What happened to Archippus? Probably also what can happen in our lives. Sometimes we are caught in a sinful situation. Sin can creep, it says, it can creep easily in our lives. Sin surrounds us very easily. We are all surrounded by sin around us, and sin becomes like something tolerated by the society, something normal, something usual. Sin does not become sinful anymore like it used to be. And that's why we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive. I don't know what happened to Archippus. Well, was he caught in a specific sin that distracted him, that made him probably not ready, not worthy, or he doesn't conceive himself worthy to represent his Lord, and was like sometimes Satan also harasses us by that, and we think that we are not worthy anymore and that we lost the role that God has called us. On the contrary, God wants to revive this life of purity in our lives, the life of purity in His church, the life that He has called us to be. We are His bride. We are His bride. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Holy God, the Holy, 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 the church and the angels around Him, surround Him by this holiness because He is holy and He has called us to be holy. We cannot play with sin and not be hurting ourselves, not be damaged, and scars can remain. But Jesus is the healer. He comes to heal us. He is the Father. He's not here to condemn us, but the Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit, that's why it says that the Holy Spirit sometimes can be said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Why does the Scripture say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit if the sin sometimes really grieves the heart of our Father? And we tend to permit ourselves and tolerate things when Jesus has called us to a life of purity. Was this happening in Archippus? I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying few possibilities and symptoms. Maybe also that somehow down the road, Archippus was tired of the Christian life. Isn't this sometimes what happened to us? We think that it's like a kind of a routine. We come to the church, we go back, and whereas this is not what God wants. God, of course, God gathers His church. This is a great time when we, as the children of God, gather together. This is great, but God is calling us to a personal relationship with Him. This is our calling. And probably Archippus was tired at a certain time that he has abandoned his first love. It's sometimes like it happens to us, we as married couples, we tend, because we see each other all the time, wife and husband, that we take things for granted, and love becomes something normal. I mean, and the married couple becomes like aching and hurting because we don't communicate the language of love anymore. And God is calling us again to notice if we have really forsaken our first love. The first love when the couple is really full of joy to see each other and to talk to each other and to spend time and hours together without being bored. This is because love is pressing us. The Holy Spirit press us in the love of Jesus Christ. I also would say probably Archippus might have been running away from God. Running away. I remember the prophet Jonah, when God wanted to assign to him a task, he was not ready. He, on the contrary, he ran away from God. And God had to seek him. God doesn't leave us, brothers and sisters. God is our Father. He, as we look after our children, as we care for our children, as we worry for them, even when they grow up, we still worry for them. We still want them the best future and the best situations. That's how God deals with us. I don't know what happened to Archippus, but probably he became tired. He deserted the battlefield. He somehow thought that he just needed to be on the side of the road, not being engaged in the race. But through all this, God wants to reignite, wants to rekindle the love, wants to bring our ministry, our personal ministry, to be revived again, that we are priest and ambassador for Him. And I would challenge me and you, brothers and sisters, to really look in our hearts this morning. When the psalmist David said, "Search my heart, O Lord, search my heart." And this is the way to return. This is the way to revive our personal ministry again, that we start by searching our hearts. What happened? What happened to Archippus? What happened to me? What happened to you? What happened to every one of us? And tell the Lord that, "Lord, create in me," just like David has cried to God, "Create in me a pure heart, O Lord. You have made me your temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Create in me a pure heart. Purify my heart." It's the refiner's fire that comes in and purifies from the inside out and make us renewed by His Holy Spirit. Let us reclaim, brothers and sisters, what was stolen from us, what was somehow being neglected, that was set aside, that was left behind. Let us really be available to God, that we may be refreshed by His Holy Spirit, and that we go back to the calling, the personal calling that God has called you, the personal ministry that God has entrusted us. And that's the role of the church. That's why Paul was reminding the church of Colossae that the church say to Archippus, remind Archippus to take heed to the ministry that he has entrusted for him, that he may fulfill it. May God bless us and really use every one of us for His glory. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joseph, for challenging us this morning, for challenging my heart this morning. Appreciate that you had the courage to put into words what the Lord has put on your heart and to challenge us this morning to consider our personal ministry. Did you know that you had a personal ministry? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that reminder. Well, we want to invite you to return and to come this evening at 7 o'clock and to join us again where we have an opportunity to hear more about what God is doing. In every difficulty, God is at work, amen? And even in the Middle East right now, there are stories to be heard and told about God's faithful ways in which He uses even difficult times to reveal His glory and to bear fruit for the kingdom. I'd like to close our service as I invite you to stand. Let us stand together. And I'd like to close by sharing this blessing, this benediction that our brother Joseph had mentioned earlier from Revelation chapter 1. Let's hear this blessing again. "To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Amen. God bless you and keep you, and we'll see you hopefully this evening again.